Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Wednesday, February 26, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today at 4:30, we're going to talk to our great friends from the ODC. We got Sammy joining us. We'll see who else tags along. We're going to start right now, though. Want to shout out Lance Plimmel. Usually, Lance is with us at this time. He's not able to be with us right now, but because his staff and him are so good at this, they set up somebody for us to talk to, and we get to hang out with Chad Schooley from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. I was just telling Pam the other day, Chad, we don't get to talk nearly enough with you. It's great to have you in, man. How you been?
I've been very good. Thanks for the invite. I always like coming in and giving updates.
And we're going to update people on a number of different things today. I can't wait to do that. I do want to shout out our great friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Do yourself a favor, if you haven't done so already, go to YouTube, type into your search bar Wisconsin Rapids Community Media, and subscribe to their page. Keep up to date on all the great work that they are doing. Appreciate you guys over there doing some great stuff. Chad, you guys are busy and doing some great stuff with the Parks and Forestry Department, especially with the changing of the seasons happening here. I imagine you guys are doing a lot behind the scenes. I want to get an update with you on some of our local areas, and we'll start with the trails and get an update on that. How are the trails looking? What can you tell us about that?
Sure. So as everybody's aware, we had a very brief winter season.
Blinked.
Very frustrating for those that like winter, you know, snow activities. Not so bad for those on the ice. You know, we've had some pretty decent ice for ice fishermen this winter, as opposed to last year. I mean, people couldn't even really get on the ice, at least with their vehicles. Short and sweet of it, trails are closed. Snowmobile trails are closed currently. Two of the clubs actually never even opened up this season.
Really?
The remainder did have a short stint between a week, maybe 2 weeks for some of them. So it was a pretty short run season, which is too bad because those clubs, they put in a lot of time and effort, you know, getting them ready in the off season, getting them signed, mowed, brush back, and all that good stuff. So a lot of work for just a very little payoff. So
I feel for them. I feel for our friends up north and so many people that are affected by this. Interesting to think of compared to last year. We're thankful for what we had this year, and hopefully we have a better winter next year for them. And that there is innovation. You know, it comes from the strangest and most interesting of places and struggles. I am very impressed with and admire a lot of what we're seeing up north and with a lot of these businesses and a lot of these clubs kind of just finding, okay, well, how do we keep this relevant? How do we keep this around and what do we do to it? I do want to take a time, even though they didn't have a lot of time, to shout out all the homes and people that own land that open up their land to these trails and all these clubs for the work that they do put into this and keeping these things alive. We appreciate that. It's a very popular hobby, big part of our economy, and we need these groups and these people doing these things, so we greatly appreciate it. Hopefully they have more time next year.
Yep, that's all we can hope for, right?
I feel like that's a bit of a preview of a Powers Bluff update, let's go ahead and get an update on that too, Chad.
Sure, yeah. So Powers Bluff, so we actually doubled the days that we're open this year from last. Unfortunately, the number is 4. Last year, we were only open 2 days, so we doubled it, but it wasn't a real good season. We are closed currently. We were open the past 2 weekends, Saturday, Sunday, had excellent crowds. So fortunately, again, you know, all the time and effort that our staff put into getting the hills ready and all that good stuff, there was a short payoff. You know, a lot of families were able to get out there and enjoy the hill. So that was good. In addition, as I've talked about over the last few times I've been here, are the trails out there, the new trail system. Again, volunteers, you know, we have volunteers that have been grooming the Fat Tire bike trail out there. That too is currently closed, just too soft of conditions. And I just want to remind people that do utilize those mountain bike trails. You know, this time of year going into spring, these trails are very vulnerable, especially out at Powers Bluff, because the surfacing essentially is clay, right? So when clay is dry, it's hard as a rock. It's a great surface. But when we have these freeze-thaw times, you know, very vulnerable to rutting. And once there's rutting in there, water stays in there. A lot of work that goes into basically repairing things that didn't have to be damaged in the first place. So please, just asking that people, you know, obey the signs out there. We also, if you want current updates, our volunteers actually post current updates on our website, as well as on TrailBot. It's an app, or you can download it on your computer or what have you. But that's where the most up-to-date information is. In addition to the mountain bike trail, we also have the multi-use trail out there, which again was groomed for fat tire biking, snowshoeing, and cross-country skiing. Parts of the trail within the woods, you know, there's still snow cover, but anything that's been exposed out in the field, anything that gets any sunlight really is, it's gone. You know, the base is gone. So for that trail, the multi-use trail, use your discretion. You know, it's not going to be in great condition by any means. That's kind of a Powers Bluff update at this point.
So, Chad, taking in consideration things I was talking about earlier, and with all the empathy in the world, I ask this next question because I am a big believer in silver linings. And I think that no matter what happens in life, you can find some silver linings. You got to do some digging sometimes, but you can find them. With the current situation and the way things are there, I hesitate to use the word positives for lack of a better word, but are there some positives we can take from this as far as for the Parks and Forestry Department? Are you guys able to get a head start on other things, save money in the budget here and move it here? Just not without trying to dig too deep into it, Anya, is there things that we can kind of take from that?
Well, and a part of that really is going to be what we get into next. You know, this winter has been awesome for the purpose of going into a park that we're taking over. You know, as of January 1st, we have taken over the maintenance of Sarah Park, right? And we're going to get into that a little bit more, but that has, this time has provided all of our staff to come together, do a lot of work out there during this winter season. So
that's great.
That's definitely a silver lining. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And Chad hasn't been here in a while. Look at him teasing the ahead. Yeah. Teasing ahead here. This is a great stuff. Very well done by you. Chad Schooley with us from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department, along with our friends from Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. And let's get into that, Chad. But first, you guys have a Parks and Forestry Open Spaces survey going on right now at their website, and encourage you to bookmark it if you haven't done so already. WoodCountyWI.gov. WoodCountyWI.gov. What can you tell us about this survey and what were you to expect with this?
No, I appreciate you bringing that up. So this is a process that we go as a department. We go through every 5 to 7 years. It's a requirement through the Wisconsin DNR. Any basically governmental entity that would like to apply for outdoor recreation grants that are administered through the Wisconsin DNR are required to have an updated, up-to-date, comprehensive plan. And so that's one of the reasons. Obviously, another reason is to get feedback, get the public's input as far as, you know, how are we doing? You know, that's very important. We always want feedback as far as what's working, what's not working, but also looking ahead for budgeting purposes, grant writing, things like that. What are you wanting within our parks and forestry areas? So a part of that process is putting together a public survey. And as you mentioned, that is available on our website. People can go through it. Basically, it takes, you know, depending on how quickly you click through it, 10 to 15 minutes. So it's a little longer, but it's very thorough. It goes through all of our properties. Speaking of Sarah Park, the first section of that survey is really asking for feedback for those that have been to the park, you know, asking, you know, what do you like? What would you like to see? But it's also asking for feedback regarding the name of the park itself, right? So question number one is basically asking, you know, what do you think we should name this park? Should we keep the name? Should we have kind of variations of the name? Or just give us an idea, right? Mm-hmm. So under the comment section, you can basically give us anything you want. Once those are all compiled, and actually next Thursday is when our next committee meeting is, I'm going to bring that committee, or our committee, a summary of all of those suggestions. And hopefully there's going to be a decision made on the actual name of the park moving forward, because We want that to get done with because we need to update signs. We need to update maps, all mm-hmm. that stuff, and we don't really want to do that twice, right? So yeah. we want to get the name pegged down.
And certainly want to be able to open the park up as soon as we're able to and everything. Just rewinding a beat, that the survey is important for so many reasons, and while it may take 10, 15 minutes, that's time you're investing. You're investing in your community. You're investing in the betterment of our community. Chad would be the first to tell you that, you guys are the bosses. We want to know what the boss thinks. We want to know what you guys think. We want to know what you guys are expecting and everything from our Parks and Forestry Department, especially with some of the changes we've experienced in the last couple of years. Right. Your feedback is vital to the work that's being done by our Parks and Forestry Department. So I encourage you to take the time to do that. And I like when I do these kind of things, when I fill out surveys like that or anything, I always like to have, okay, I'm going to do that, and I have ice cream afterwards. I give myself a carrot at the end of the stick. Yes, a carrot at the end of the stick because I'm a teenager, basically. But whatever you need, go out there and do that, fill that out, and have some fun with this too, because this isn't normal for communities necessarily to be having what's going on with Sarah Park and the opportunity for you to have input on this and really be able to dig your hands in and be like, oh, what would I like the name to be, or what would I like to see changes happen? Your feedback is not only important, it's darn near necessary to be able to make these decisions and for Chad and his team to be able to do the work here. Right. As far as Sierra Park goes, Chad, and we'll give people the email again for where they can fill out that survey before we wrap up, but when it comes to Sierra Park, I want to get into this with you a little bit, because I feel like this is almost an underreported story right now, and maybe in part because to me I think of this as a big story, and maybe it just is to me and some others or what have you. And I don't want to say that as like we have some amazing reporting going on for a rural community, for a small community here. Caitlin and the work she does at the Wisconsin Rapids Tribune, and our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids City Times, our friends at Rapids Community Media, and my favorite reporter Melissa Kay, might be a little biased on that one, but I'm not wrong. We got great reporters going on in here. And with all that said, this is a story that is still developing and still very interesting to me. How did this begin? How did this conversation even start with taking over that park?
Right. So, and I think this is a piece that really is underreported, kind of some of that background history, right?
Yeah.
So essentially, I forget which month, but so mid-year last year, right? Mid-2024. I was contacted by representatives from QIPCO, which is Consolidated Water Power Company, and they're actually the owners of the property itself. So since the early 1970s, that property was essentially leased by the employee group at that time, Consolidated Papers. Employee group, you know, they had a board of directors. They essentially spent, a lot of time, I'm sure tears and sweat, essentially developing that park, right? It was developed for employees and family members of employees of the mill. And so it was very, and it still is very personal to a lot of, people that still live around this area that had years of employment through Consolidated. Yeah. Or those companies that essentially, purchased over the years.
Yeah, a lot of memories at that park.
A lot of memories. They had a pretty active softball league out there. They had a top-notch swimming pool facility, tennis courts. I mean, it was a really, it was an awesome park.
Full functional park.
Yes, yeah. In its heyday. Fast forward to today. Obviously those mills have either closed down or they've downsized or what have you. The participation of the upkeep, the funds, another thing that a lot of people don't know, a lot of the funds that went towards development and maintaining that was actually directly from proceeds from all the vending machines in Wisconsin Rapids Mill and different mills that were owned. The volume of people that worked there at one time, right?
Sure,
so all those funds went into a kitty, and that was used for developing and maintaining that park. That's not there anymore, right? So the funds have kind of somewhat dried up as far as, upkeep and things like that. I don't know how many years ago, but essentially at some point they went from kind of a private park for employees and their family members to opening it up to the general public. Even with that, you know, the revenue that they were bringing in just wasn't kind of making the cut as far as being able to keep up with maintenance and things like that. So the owners, representatives from Quipco, decided that the lease was coming up at the end of 24. They kind of wanted to change direction. There are some restrictions and regulation that they have to follow because of their license through FERC, the Federal Energy Regulation Corporation, or I'm not sure what that stands for. Yeah, but
that's a good question.
Anyways, it has to be maintained as a public access point along the river. And so it's not like they could have just sold it to a developer or something like that. And so, according to them, we were the obvious choice, you know, being in that field, parks and recreation, forestry, all that good stuff. And so they approached us. I brought it before our committee, and there's been nothing but support as far as basically adding this park to our already outstanding fleet of parks, right?
So really extends that stretch a little bit more. And while there is some work and maintenance to be done, and certainly regarding the survey information taken from the community about what to expect or what you want from this park, you are getting something that is there's a blueprint already for.
Yeah, you know, it's functional. It needs a little updates, but you know, it's got a functioning campground, right? There's 59 electric sites, 6 non-electric sites. It's got a large shelter building, a smaller shelter building, basketball courts, playgrounds. Again, kind of outdated. We're going to have to be doing some replacement of those features. But yeah, I mean, it's a location right on the Wisconsin River, beautiful, right across the river from Anchor Bay and some other activities on the Beer and Flowage. Very popular location. It's a great spot. So.
And longtime listeners know that I can't help myself of connecting dots and all that. And we started a lot of this conversation talking about some of the hits our economy has taken, the hits that some of our local businesses or clubs have taken with the lack of snow. One of the big things that is going on right now is, how do we counter that? How are we going to make up for that economy? How are we going to make up for that time and all that? I'm not saying that this is going to fix all of that, but here is an option. Here is another revenue source. Here is another opportunity for people to go and do their hobbies, or a place to go and have some fun, a recreation area that, again, is not built, but is so, like, the foundation's there for you. You got a lot to work with this. Right. This is such a smart investment. This is such a smart... I'm a big fan of repurposing things. Never thought about repurposing land or a park or something like that, but that's what we're doing here with this, is reimagining it, re-looking at it, and seeing, hey, community, what do you think? What would you like to see out of this park? Longtime people in this community, too, not only the ties and the memories they might have to it, but for a lot of families as well, hey, you know, I never got to go to that park. My family wasn't a part of the mill. I want to go check that out. We've been going to Point for how many years, driving past it and everything, kind of want to go check it out, want to actually be inside and stuff. There is so much... opportunity with this that seems very exciting.
Yes, it is extremely exciting.
Yeah. When it comes to the survey, which again, we encourage you to go woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. You'll be able to find it right away going there and going under the Parks and Forestry Department tab. Yep. And going to SurveyMonkey, which is one of the better named websites I've ever seen. It's a great name. But you'll be able to fill it out there. And we encourage you to do that to get this data. How long do they have to fill out the survey? Is there a time frame when we're going to take it down and collect this data?
Yeah, there is not a set date. We're looking at, you know, as far as updating that plan, the next step really is compiling information over the next couple months here. So again, nothing, you know, if you go on today or next week, it's still going to be up. It's just at some point we're going to be compiling all that data. So.
And, you know, when you guys know, I'm sure you'll be putting it on social media that, hey, the survey is going to end in a week or something like that. So another good reason to like and subscribe to what they're doing on social media at the Parks and Forestry Department to keep up to date on those things. And I did have in one of my questions, what's next for Sierra Park? But we kind of answered that, really.
Well, there is one other thing I wanted to mention is that right now, it's not live on our reservation system. I know we do get, you know, phone calls almost on a weekly basis, just checking out, you know, when can we start reserving? The reason being is that we do have that project as far as remodeling the shower building. It's bid out. We're supposed to be receiving those bids next week, with the intent of opening up Memorial Weekend. And that's basically what our intention is.
Yep. That's awesome.
Which is about a month later than our other parks, but it gives us a little extra time to get things organized and up and going, things like that. So be on the lookout. We're going to post it when we have a firm date, but that is, as of right now, that's our plan, is Memorial Weekend and running through the summer here. So
just very excited about this. I do want to warn you, though, Chad, with all this going on, we're going to have you back more often, man.
Oh,
we
got
to keep
right.
people up to date on this one. You're going to be doing some work over the next couple of months. And we appreciate the work that you, your team, everybody is not only putting into this, but our Parks and Forestry Department, and all that covers. It's I think for a lot of people out there, if you haven't done the digging on this one, take a look one time at how much our Parks and Forestry Department covers in this area and the work that they're doing. You guys working hard over there. We appreciate it.
Yeah, we have an awesome staff. Couldn't do it without them, obviously. So,
if people have follow-up questions, Chad, want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
You know, go on our Facebook page. We've got links there. You can email us, give us a phone call. We're on Facebook, so you can message us. Currently, our Monica from our office is doing kind of a trivia, tying it in with our 90th anniversary this year, which again is just makes Sarah Park that much more exciting. Kind of tying it into that 90 year and looking forward. So,
and congratulations about that to the Parks and Forestry Department. And yes, go check out their search, their Facebook page. I throw it in your search bar. It'll pop up right away. I tested it yesterday morning and it worked really good. And you can have fun with it as well, because you guys do a real good job with that. And it's a great way to keep up to date on different things like the survey and other stuff. You can also find out more at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Chad, thanks again for the time.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And a big appreciation to our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. Like and subscribe to the work that they are doing on social media as well, and share it on your pages. You just never know who might see it otherwise. We will be back with more Midday Magazine right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR. We are locally grown radio.